So imagine for a moment with me, you discover oil on the farm, right? It's just bubbling up right at the surface, all the oil you could ever pump out. What do you do? Oh, you're searching on the banks of the Mistinka. You know, you're just having a good time walking out on along the river, and all of a sudden you see something on sticking out of the corner of the bank, and you go over there and brush it off, and it looks like, you know, a trunk. So you dig a little more and pull it out and get it all cleaned up, and you see on the side, it reads Wells Fargo Stagecoach, and you see a big lock on there. You're thinking, oh boy, I wonder what's in this treasure. And then you go get a big rock and smack it open and break the lock, and you creak it open and look in, and it's like, oh, it's full of gold coins, all for you, right? Treasure. What do you do when you find your treasure? What is it about imaginary treasure that grabs our attention? You know, or it could be a possible treasure, a could-be treasure. You know, my brother-in-law once told me a story years ago about a boxcar that had been hauled out to an old railway junkyard. And it was out there, was abandoned, forgotten, and years of sand blowing up, and it kind of started to cover it over. Until one day, two treasure seekers were out searching through the old wrecks, and they came across this boxcar. And they could see that the door was closed, so they thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe there's something inside. So they began to dig a little bit, and as they were digging, they found that the seal on the edge of this door had never been opened. It hadn't been cracked. And so they really started to get excited. They excavated more and more till they could get the door open enough to break the seal, and they peered inside, and you know what they found? An unimaginable treasure. A whole boxcar load of 1957 Chevys. Pretty amazing, huh? They, you know, this boxcar had apparently been misdirected and abandoned with its cargo intact until these treasure hunters came by and found it. You know, I pondered that one for a long time, really. I imagined, you know, what it would be like if I had found that treasure. I'd be cruising down the road in my cool 1957 Chevrolet. Wow, that would be so amazing. It kind of dates me, doesn't it? I imagine what it would be like if I stumbled across a treasure. You know, even the potential of a treasure, it can get us excited. So a few years ago, Harper's Magazine had published this report about a man called Jay Miskovich who claimed that he had found hundreds of emeralds from a Spanish shipwreck from 1622. You know, in the Florida Keys, it is a hunting ground for sunken treasure. There's so many vessels that were sunken over there in all the islands and the reefs. You know, jewels and gold and silver that was hauled from South America over to Spain. And a bunch of these treasures lay down there, just waiting for the treasure hunters to find them. And Jay, he brought out all these samples and claims that he had found masses of emeralds that were still out there, just waiting to be claimed. They were estimated to be worth billions of dollars. Now, this is true treasure, right? So with the advice of lawyers and jewel experts and millions of dollars of investments collected by private individuals and Wall Street managers, and a company was even set up to protect this great find, but the dream of the fortunes, they never materialized. In the end, the world discovered that Jay Miskovich's entire story was manufactured. He made it all up. In fact, he even seeded the ocean floor with emeralds that he had bought. But exactly as he had hoped, you know, his false claims drew interests of the treasure hunters. But down the road, as one by one the investors pulled out, the whole story began to unravel. So what is it about even the illusion of treasure that makes us just go nuts? What is it? Well, it's the great value, right? It's the incredible worth of a treasure. And for the one that possesses a treasure like that, it changes everything. So now imagine you come across a real, hidden, valuable treasure. What do you do? Well, first you figure out what it's worth, right? Is it worth something? And then when you find out it's valuable, you do everything you can to get it. So what kind of treasure are you willing to go all in on? Well, today's the final sermon in this series called Build Your Kingdom Here. And it's our desire to see heaven's cause taken up in our own lives and seeing the church flourish in Jesus' mission. So that's, in a sense, our treasure, our purpose, is to point more and more people to Jesus so that they can become followers of Jesus and make followers of Jesus. And when we're all on that mission, we are all in for heaven's cause. So with the coming of Jesus, you know, the kingdom of heaven is upon us. And as your pastor, I really want you to know, more than anything else, I want you to have that treasure-seeking desire that we all have built in us to be filled with the greatest treasure you can ever find. Jesus is that treasure. And he gives us a clue for the treasure hunters. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. And when you find this treasure, it's worth keeping. It's a treasure worth everything. So here's where we're going today. This is kind of the big theme that we have, kind of to wrap our mind around. You know, the kingdom of heaven is the absolute greatest treasure that you and I can ever find. The kingdom of heaven is the treasure our hearts long for. So Jesus is the way to that kingdom. He's the way that fulfills this treasure-seeking desire, and he's the way to a relationship with God. So there's no other treasure greater than knowing God. And you can search all over the world, the highest mountains, and people have, right? They've climbed and searched these high mountains for truth, and the deepest oceans, and we're figuring out ways to get down to the deepest depths of the ocean. And, you know, people are making their way throughout the whole world, but there's no treasure that can be found greater than knowing God through Jesus Christ. So he is the treasure we're all after. And if we know Jesus, if you know Jesus, then you know he's the treasure you'll want to hold on to. So the question being, how do we truly hold on to this priceless treasure? How do we hold on to Jesus? Well, the first thing we do is know what we have. So if you're making notes, this is it. Know what you have. With this treasure, we have to know what we have. The parable goes like this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Why? Why is it so valuable? Well, it's valuable for a couple of reasons. First, it's valuable because it rescues us. The kingdom of heaven rescues us. You know, a treasure can change us, but not unlike any earthly treasure, this treasure actually rescues us from a life leading to death and destruction into a life of light and the Spirit of God. You know, in the kingdom of heaven, we experience this life that is impossible apart from the kingdom of heaven. If we think about this, a life of love. You know, we maybe take that for granted as followers of Jesus, but that love of God that fills us with life and fills us with love for others, that's part of the kingdom. That love that leads into joy and a deep sense of profound happiness, joy, depth, no matter what our circumstances are. This peace that passes all understanding, a peace that we experience through Christ, and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. The kingdom of heaven is like a valuable treasure because it rescues us from the kingdom of darkness and the devil into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of the Son of God. So it's valuable because it rescues us, and it's valuable because it's eternal. It's eternal, this kingdom of treasure. You know, it's unveiling and opening our eyes to see things from heaven's perspective. Because sometimes we miss the treasure, right? Sometimes it seems elusive. So how do you know when you have the treasure? How do we know? Well, as Stan Caffey prepared for his married life, he and his bride were cleaning out their respective garages, and they sold everything to Goodwill. So between the two of them, they sold an assortment of clothes and bicycles and tools and computer parts and a tattered copy of the Declaration of Independence that had been hanging on Stan's garage wall for 10 years. So his trash turned out to be someone else's treasure. You know, this version of the Declaration was a rare copy, and a man named Michael Sparks, he spotted it, and he purchased it for $2.48, and he later auctioned it off for $477,000. Pretty good profit, huh? Good treasure. Caffey, the previous owner, he was later quoted as saying, you know, "I'm happy for the Sparks guy. If I still had it, it would still be hanging in the garage, and I still wouldn't know it was worth all that," right? That treasure hanging right there on the garage, no idea it's a fortune. So are we sure that we recognize the treasure we have? You know, in Jesus' time, the Jews were expecting the kingdom of heaven to arrive with all kinds of signs and wonders, this apocalyptic event. But it wasn't happening that way, even though it was right there. And after Jesus affirms a man for his great understanding of the law of the commandments, the law of love, love God and love your neighbor, Jesus says to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." You know, that passage, it unsettles me a little bit because, you know, he's right there, almost there, but not yet. He's almost in, but not quite. You and I don't want to end up right on the edge, almost there, but not quite. So what's missing in this treasure? As a pastor from Alexandria, he was expressing to me the other day, he said, I believe revival is here now. It's kind of interesting, you know, that the Spirit of God is moving in amazing ways like we've not seen before. And I would agree that revival is happening right now, but I also agree that not everybody is experiencing that, right? Not everyone knows that revival is happening right now. Why not? How are they missing this great treasure? When do you know when you've got the treasure? Well, we know we have the treasure when we have Jesus. I mean, it seems kind of simple, but Jesus is the treasure. Somehow we want to recognize that. Jesus is the treasure. Right? Say that with me. Jesus is the treasure. He is. You can't have the kingdom of heaven without Jesus. But with Jesus, we have this treasure of unimaginable worth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me." Let's look at the parable again. When a man found it, he's searching out this treasure. You know, it seems like this treasure is kind of discovered by chance. And that's a possibility in the land of Israel where, you know, over the years, marauders would go through the land. And so people may bury their treasures in order to protect them, bury their valuables. And so there's a possibility that, you know, a treasure could be found like this. It's very rare, extremely improbable. Possible. And we have to recognize that it's the same with God's grace, that we find the kingdom of heaven by the grace of God. So when we come upon this treasure, we want to recognize it for what it is, a rare treasure, an extremely important treasure. It's a priceless treasure. So let's go over this again. How do we truly take hold of this priceless treasure that's before us? Well, we want to know what we have, right? We want to be able to recognize our treasure and know the value that it is. And then once we do that, we want to keep it safe. We want to guard our treasure. So when a man found it, he hid it again. Now, if that seems a little weird, I'm with you. You know, he found his treasure, yay, and then he hid it again. Well, what's going on there? A little deeper digging helps us recognize that according to Jewish law, if someone if a servant finds a treasure in the field and lifts it out of the ground, then it belongs to the landowner, it belongs to the master. But if he doesn't lift it out of the ground, then it belongs to the owner of the land. So this guy, we know through the parable, he goes and sells everything and buys the land so that the treasure becomes his. So he's keeping it safe. He has to forego the joy of this treasure for a while in order to receive it later. It's called this delayed gratification. Now think about this for a moment. You know that boxcar is full of 1957 Chevys, or you know, maybe it was the Wells Fargo trunk full of gold coins. You know it's there, but you have to leave it. You can't go get it yet. You have to keep a straight face. Like, you don't really want to give it away. How are you at doing that, right? How would that feel? Man, you'd be so giddy, so excited. You want to share it with everybody, but you can't. You're waiting. You're holding on. You know, sometimes the kingdom of heaven is like that. We know the value. We have to wait for it. We have to wait for its unfolding. You know, this is easy to miss as a follower of Jesus because we think that we know that we have eternal life, right, in Jesus, and we do, but we miss the part about guarding the treasure. You know, while we're waiting for heaven to be realized, we can't wander away from heaven's cause. You know, this role of discipleship, that's why we're not just trying to make believers in Jesus, we're about becoming followers of Jesus. Because we know this great value that we have and we're working into it. Sometimes we forget the value of the treasure we found. We forget that following Jesus is worth all we give up for the treasure we get. You know, Jesus' warning reminds us that we don't want to forget. He says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me. You don't love each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. So why do we have this tendency to even though we know this treasure is there, why do we have this tendency to turn away? You know, why do we get lax or lazy or drift? You know, I'll be honest, I get lax and lazy and drift sometimes. Am I the only one? You know, I think this is a common thing, right? For some reason, we know this treasure is there, but yet we still drift. Why do we do that? Well, I think we forget to protect our treasure. We get distracted by the other treasures out there. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. You know, why do other treasures start looking valuable to us when we know that this one is the greatest? Well, preacher and author Randy Alcorn, he says, your heart always follows your money. He gets really practical here. Suppose you buy shares of General Motors. What happens? You suddenly develop interest in GM. You check the financial pages. You read all the podcasts. You want to know all you can about GM. You know, with the stock market turn, I've been keenly interested in the pension fund, right? Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a treasure to me, right? You know, it has an effect. It does. So suppose you're giving to the Congo, and you hear about something happening in the Congo, or the child that you sponsored there in the region they're in. You know, you're keenly interested in that. Why? Because you're invested in it. You hold an interest in it. Maybe you're spending money to plant churches in India and an earthquake or tsunami hits. I heard about a tsunami today in Indonesia. So you also you become aware of that and you think about those people you might be praying for. You know, do you wish you cared more about eternal things, he writes? Then reallocate some of your money, maybe most of your money, from temporal things to eternal things. Put your resources, your assets, your money, your possessions, your time, your talents, your energies into the things of God. Watch what happens. As surely as the compass needle follows north, your heart will follow your treasure. Money leads, hearts follow. You know, it sounds so petty, but it's true. Treasure is alluring, and even when we find the greatest treasure, we tend at times to forget what we have. So I've learned that I have to keep my treasure-seeking desires in check. Jesus says, or we follow Paul's example. Paul understood this, and he says, but whatever was profit to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. There we go. For the sake of Christ, that's the treasure. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There it is, the treasure, knowing Jesus, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. There's the treasure again, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. There it is, the treasure fulfilled. So the best way to keep our treasure hunting desire in check is to remain on our first love, and that is by getting rid of all of our lesser treasures, getting rid of all those treasures that compete with the one treasure. And so the parable goes, and then in his joy went and sold all he had. So in this parable, the treasure seeker had to get rid of his lesser treasures to keep the greatest treasure, because we can't have it all. He couldn't have all of those treasures, so he got rid of the lesser ones to keep the greater one. So there's this buy-in with everything. It's all worth it. I was in this conversation recently, and someone asked me this question about our church. They said, is the church growth sustainable? You know, the church has grown quite a bit over the last few years, and is the growth sustainable? Is it worth going all in? And I have to say that the question could be turned around another way. It could say, have we created something unsustainable? And if so, is it wise to keep going? It's a good question, isn't it? My answer to that would be, it depends on where your treasure is. And so let's go over this again. How do we truly take hold of this priceless treasure? One, know the treasure we have. It's the greatest treasure you and I can ever hold. And we want to keep it safe. We want to guard it. We want to get rid of the lesser treasures. And finally, we want to go all in. We want to go all in on heaven's cause. So when we do that, is church growth sustainable? Is it worth it all? I have no doubt in my mind that it is worth it. And here's why. Because people are finding their treasure in Jesus Christ through us, this mission outpost in the world. And as we continue to do ministry here, as we continue to flourish, people are finding their treasure in Jesus, that eternal treasure. Is that worth it? Absolutely. And I don't believe this, but I mean, I don't believe this is going to happen, but I do believe that if the church ceased to exist a year from now, it still would have been worth it for those who find Christ. So the church is just part of this outcome of the treasure we hold. It's not this building, right? It's Jesus. Our treasure is not in here, it's in him. And our cause is not our own, it is heaven's cause. So we're not building a kingdom here, we're asking Jesus to build his kingdom here. And in that, that treasure is worth going all in for. So over and over in the Bible, we're reminded that this treasure is worth going all in for. You know, the passage we read reflects Mary's song and her understanding about this treasure in heaven. You know, God had called her. Her life was totally upside down because of the treasure in her, the treasure she was called to seek. And she was willing to do that because she knew that it was all worth it. And so for you and I, we are called over and over to go all in, to find that treasure that truly fulfills us, and to continue to seek it with all our heart, to guard it, to keep it safe, to go all in. So I want to encourage you. It's the only thing that will ever truly fulfill that treasure-seeking desire that we have. I mean, we can bounce from treasure to treasure to treasure. It'll never be enough until we find our treasure in him. This is the treasure you're made for.